Look at all this. What a gift, what a gift. The world is a gift I want to fall back in love with. It's hard sometimes though, right? True confessions. Sometimes ministers choose a service title that can work in many different circumstances. Just in case. As is almost always the case for the Sunday after the first Tuesday in November. Because we just never know how those elections are going to turn out. This sermon on the monthly theme of nurturing gratitude titled For All That Is Our Life wouldn't have changed very much no matter which way it went, that election, or so I told myself. I have to say though, it does feel ever so much better today than some other post-election Sundays I've been through. Thank you. All of you who chose to spend your time living your values and getting out the vote. For all that is our life, the UU hymn says, we give our thanks and praise, for all life is a gift, which we are called to use to build the common good and make our own days glad. Are we though? Really? All of it? Sometimes I wonder, but I think the answer is yes. Deep in my heart of hearts, I know that gratitude is not just for the easy or beautiful moments. That part of what we do as humans is that we have to acknowledge the all of it, the hard, the joyful, the uncertain. Even the hard times, the hard lessons, the growth that we experience deserves our attention and our gratitude. I was recently introduced to the Earthly Education website and a video by Daniel Ryder who writes, if you ever feel heavy because you care too much about injustice, extinction, or the unraveling of our living world, remember this. They spent trillions trying to make you numb. Whole industries built on distraction, denial, advertising, and apathy were designed to keep you scrolling, shopping, surviving, but never feeling. Yet here you are, heart still open, feeling it all. That ache is proof their machine failed. Caring in an uncaring world is a form of rebellion. It means you're still alive to what matters, still connected to life itself. Never mistake that pain for weakness. It is the pulse of someone who hasn't been bought, someone who remembers what being human really is. That too is gratitude, the willingness to feel deeply, to stay alive to what matters. It's been said that the purpose of religion is to acknowledge the experience of awe. A-W-E, in case my accent is somehow not coming through for you. The New Scientist magazine has a video about the importance of awe and wonder. They say that most people experience awe 3 to 4 times a week, which is quite a lot, they say, and they experience it at the smallest things, like people being kind to each other, or a tree, if it's a particularly nice tree. But the thing about awe is that it actually changes how our brains work. It decreases activity in an area called the default mode network, which is attached to things like our ego and anxiety. It also can increase connections between different parts of our brain that are otherwise disconnected and can help us feel calm. And it can also make us feel more generous toward others. Awe seems to make us feel like more like part of a group rather than an individualistic entity just working on our own. Experiencing awe makes us recognize the connections between things in the world. Experiencing awe really does change our brain and then our behavior. And then gratitude grows naturally in that soil. We can't help but be appreciative and grateful for the experience of awe. And I will tell you personally that the worst times in my life were when I forgot that, when I forgot to experience how wonderful this world is. The Reverend Dr. Galen Gingrich of All Souls Unitarian Church in New York City once wrote that gratitude might be the core theology of Unitarian Universalism. In the same way that Judaism is defined by obedience, Christianity by love, and Islam by submission, Unitarian Universalism is perhaps defined by gratitude. It is a spiritual practice. If religion is about coming together to experience awe and to understand our obligation to each other and to all of creation, then gratitude must be our discipline and our ethic, both our practice and our story. A grateful heart can always shift our perspective, and it's free. Gratitude is free. All we have to do is think of something. It really cost us nothing in our own minds. Robin Wall Kimmerer writes, "Imagine raising children in a culture in which gratitude is the first priority. Each part of creation is thanked in turn for fulfilling its creator-given duty to others. It reminds you every day that you have enough, more than enough. Everything needed to sustain life is already here. When we do this every day, it leads us to an outlook of contentment and respect for all of creation." Kimmerer asked, "What would it be like to be raised on gratitude, to speak to the natural world as a member of the democracy of species, to raise a pledge of interdependence?" Maybe it sounds familiar to some of you. No declarations of political loyalty are required, just one question. Can we agree to be grateful for all that is given? Can we agree to be grateful for all that is given? It is hard sometimes, right? Reverend Gingrich suggests a few simple ways to practice, and the first one is what pops up when you Google gratitude or how to practice gratitude. And I imagine that some of you have done or currently have this practice, which is to keep a gratitude journal. Each morning or night, make a list of things, people, or experiences for which you're grateful. No more than three is what is usually recommended when I've read about it, to keep it simple and easy, or maybe that's my limit. Soon you'll find yourself paying closer attention to your life. Over time, you'll notice more that you have to be grateful for. The crisp air, a fleeting smile, the way light touches a wall, or the way that sunlight filters through leaves, even if they're fake. The fleeting smile of a passerby. Life is constituted by moments like these. The discipline of gratitude gives us a new way of looking at the world. Another gratitude practice is perhaps at dinner time to pause and say, "This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Yes, that's a psalm. It's a good one. It's simple, easy, and to the point. This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And finally, one more on my list of simple ways to nurture gratitude, which supposedly has much greater impact. And I will tell you that it's in the Soul Matters packet this month. And it's called Mental Subtraction of Positive Events. Writer Daniel Pink says that instead of just things that you're grateful for, because let's be honest, there's endless advice telling you to write them down or save them out loud. Instead, well, let's do it now. It's quick. So think of someone or something you're grateful for. It could be what you wrote on your leaf, someone in your life, something in your life. And now imagine your life without that, without that person. What if you never met your best friend or your spouse? What if you never took that job that shaped your path or chose to go to graduate school or had a baby? What if you never moved to the place where you built your life? This is what is meant by mental subtraction of positive events. And research shows that by mentally removing something good, your brain appreciates it more. So feel that deep thankfulness that you may be experiencing, that depth of gratitude for what you have, the awareness of what might not have been deepens our gratitude for what is. The discipline of gratitude is about knowing how much we have been given and recognizing our interdependence. It's about saying thank you to the people we love, to the world we inhabit, and to the mystery that holds us all. We open to life's gifts. Reverend Don Wheat is known for saying that a religious person, you know, those of us here to experience awe, the religious person is a grateful person, and a grateful person is a generous person. When we're grateful, we're filled up, and that can't help but overflow, and we want to share it. We want to share our sense of awe and wonder with others, and our gratitude and our love. The religious person is a grateful person, and the grateful person is a generous person, and I would take that out to the generous person is a joyful person, and perhaps the joyful person is a peaceful person. A person moved by others' suffering but still willing to feel that and to be both grateful and generous has donated 20 gift cards to Giant Grocery Store. They are $25 each. If you're wondering how you're going to buy groceries this week or next, or if you know someone who is, please take a card. They are up here on the table. And if you need to, take more than one. Take what you need, no questions asked. Use it for yourself or for someone in the community. A reminder that I also have a minister's discretionary fund. If you need it, let me know. This is gratitude made visible, the circulation of care, the recognition that when we already have enough, we want to share it. And even if we don't think we have enough, we share what we have. Let us practice then this discipline and ethic so central to our UU faith, gratitude. Let us nurture it through our own discipline and practice. May we find what we can be grateful for, no matter our circumstances. May we open to the gift that life offers in the joy and in the sorrow woven fine.